Memorial Day weekend. On this day, we celebrate our military personnel. We acknowledge that their service enables us to walk as free men and women in this great land. At chapel, I said, I don't know whether you say happy Memorial Day, thank you, my condolences. It's one of those weekends, so it all applies. So let's make sure that we all have our cell phones silenced, and we're going to listen to Deb King play the prelude. Now, the prelude is, Blessed Be the Name. The first line is, God gives and takes away, but my heart will choose to stay. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That was gorgeous. Before we get to anything else, make sure you sign the friendship sheet. And if you don't know somebody that's sitting near you, check it out and introduce yourself. We have some announcements. What a surprise. Now, I'm not going to get all carried away, but this coming Saturday, the Property Commission has scheduled the annual all-church spring cleanup. It starts at 9 a.m. I think you can probably go all day into the night if you feel like it, because we have to do the yards and everything else. So, there we are. They're having a youth garage sale on June 11th. Now, there's more information on that in the announcements. I wasn't going to try to read it all. It's about when you can drop things off and when the thing is, but it is for June 11th, so you know how you have to get your stuff there before then. On Monday, June 6th, from 5 to 9, there will be another Pizza Ranch night to help the kids with their expenses. Out in the foyer, there are sign-up sheets for summer music, which, you know, this starts next week. Scripture readers and chapel helpers, please pick a Sunday and sign up on the board. And if you didn't read all the announcements, you're going to miss something because I didn't give it all to you. So now let's stand, introduce ourselves to each other, or just say hi. And we'll start with O Worship the King in the hymnal on page 17, verses 1, 3, and 5.
Looks like it, doesn't it?
Join me in the call to worship. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be by thy name.
The birds and seas, rocks and trees, cry out.
Come and let your glory fall.
Come, Lord, hear our call.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, on this day of remembrance for those who have made the ultimate sacrifice for the freedoms we enjoy every day, we think of how they have followed in the footsteps of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for your unconditional love and the gift of your precious Son, Jesus. Remind us always of the sacrifices that Jesus made for each of us. Let us not forget the price Jesus paid, and let us never forget or belittle what he did for us. Now let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
What a joy it is to see each of you here this Memorial Day weekend. Thank you for coming to worship the Lord today. In your chalice hymnal, if you would turn to page 354, as our song of prayer this morning, we will sing, "Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God." On the back of your bulletin, you'll find a list of prayer concerns and joys. As we turn to the Lord together in a time of prayer, I encourage you to reach into the pew rack in front of you and take a prayer card. Write a note to someone who needs to know you're praying for them today, and then place that card in the offering tray. Our card shower this morning is for Annette Crane. She is the director of our preschool here at First Christian Church. Wednesday night, they had their end-of-the-year celebration, and our Christian Education Commission presented 26 VeggieTales Bible storybooks to the pre-K kids who will be in kindergarten next fall. And the parents really appreciated that gift and that gesture from the church. Annette has served with us now for 2 years. She began as our director in May of 2014. So this is a work anniversary of sorts for her. She was a teacher with us for a long time before that. We anticipate that this fall, Annette will probably be teaching again as well as directing. With the economy the way it is, enrollment in preschools all over town is down, and that's a way for us to help meet our budget. So Annette will be doing double duty in the fall. I encourage you to just send her a note of appreciation for all that she does. Prayer concern for Mina Padgett. Mina has another test coming up with her doctors this week. They're doing a biopsy. She has had a growth, a lump of sorts in her stomach. The preliminary results indicate it could be stomach cancer, but there's not a final word on that yet. So prayers for Mina as she undergoes medical tests. Donna Ryan is having some health issues. Prayers for her. Prayers for Grace Sahlstrom as she continues regaining her strength. Dorothy Jones is at Shepherd of the Valley and would really appreciate visits. Dorothy fell in her own home a couple weeks ago. A family member who brings her groceries found her and she was unconscious. Dorothy doesn't know if she just tripped and hit her head or maybe if she had a little stroke. A couple years ago, she had some TIAs. And so she went to the ER, and now she's at Shepherd for recovery. Even if you don't know Dorothy, if you're out that way, she's in room 212. And if you just stop by and say you're from First Christian Church, she would be thrilled to see you, and we'll talk your ear off. So go visit Dorothy if you have time. Mary Decker is Cal's mom. She will probably be having a heart pacemaker put in. We're not sure when that will be yet. Traveling mercies for all who are on the road this weekend. Our regional prayer partners are the members of our regional staff. There's a sheet at the back you're encouraged to sign and send greetings. Our interim executive regional minister, Dean Phelps, is on vacation for the next 2 weeks, and I'm sure we'll be spending time in prayer, discerning what God will call him to do next once we call a new regional minister. Being an interim is an interesting job. You walk in the door knowing the church you're serving is trying to get rid of you. Our search committee is hard at work. They will finish developing the job description this summer, probably in June, and advertise the position. And we hope to know by October who the next regional minister will be. Laura Meritz has been the executive assistant in the regional office, managing phone calls and registrations and all kinds of work. She's accepted a different position in the fall, so one of Dean's last jobs will be finding a new secretary to work with our next regional minister. And our regional associate minister for youth is Shelley Garrison. Shelley plans all of the camps every summer, works with our executive youth council, ECOY, and does a great job with youth ministry in the region. Prayers of gratitude for her. From chapel this morning, some concerns to lift up. Thanksgiving for blessings. Prayers for Reed Redken. We prayed for him last week. His back was injured in a trampoline accident. He had surgery last Sunday. The anticipation is he may even be discharged from the hospital today. He seems to be doing well. It was a serious injury, and prayers for recovery are still needed. The Burgess' granddaughter, who lives in Sheridan, she's in her 30s. She had a brain tumor about 2 years ago, has done well since then, but there has been a return now of two brain tumors. They are not cancerous, but they are putting pressure on her brain. The plan is to do radiation on June 9th that hopefully will shrink those. So prayers for her. And the Lansings asked for prayers for their daughter, who lives in Alabama, who has had neck issues for many years and may have to have surgery soon. Dewey Smith, a member of our congregation who comes to chapel faithfully every Sunday, received a cornea transplant about 6 years ago. It has truly been a blessing for him and has helped with his vision. There is beginning to be signs of possible rejection. And so Dewey would like your prayers for his vision as he deals with this issue. Are there other concerns this morning or joys that we want to lift up and share today? Debbie.
That's a prayer for one of our ladies who had SHE. She's new
prayers for a woman who lost her job and consequently her housing, and prayers for others that we see at the Sandwich Ministry, and of course just throughout the community who right now are really struggling. Wanda. Prayers of blessings for all the graduates. Let us turn to the Lord now in a time of shared silence as we lift these and other prayers to God. O God of all creation, you rule over the cosmos. You alone, Lord, can see the farthest stars and planets and measure the space between galaxies. What a marvel it is, Holy One, that in your infinite knowledge and power, you choose to care about the details of our lives. Jesus taught us to pray to you as Father, Abba, Papa. You invite us into an intimate relationship as your children. Lord, we thank you for Annette Crane and the ministry that she serves here at First Christian with our young children in the preschool. We pray your blessing upon our preschool staff, upon children during summer break, upon little ones who are going to kindergarten in the fall. And we pray for high school and college graduates who face decisions about their future. Bless and guide each one to make wise choices, to follow the best path you would lay out for their lives. Lord, we pray for Mina that your healing hand would be upon her. We ask you to chase away any cancer cells from her body. We pray for Donna and Grace, for Dorothy and Mary. We join with the Burgesses in praying for their granddaughter and ask for healing, for successful radiation treatment, that her brain tumors will shrink and her health will be restored. We join with John and Sharon in praying for their daughter as she faces decisions. Bless with wisdom the medical staff who seek treatment for her neck. Lord, watch over Dewey. We give thanks for the gift of a cornea that he received years ago, for the vision it has restored. Lord, we pray now that his body will not reject this gift. We pray for your healing to be with him, watch over his eyes, and keep his vision clear. We pray for Reed, recovering from a back injury. We continue to pray for the Fosters in their time of hospitalization in Florida. Lord, we ask for traveling mercies for those who are on the road this weekend. Across the country, we pray that you would keep people safe. And we pray for people who are on the road of life, who are facing struggles. We pray for those who are struggling with alcoholism and drug addictions. We pray for their families, for all who are impacted by the drug culture in negative ways. We pray for a woman who comes to the Sandwich Ministry who has lost her job and because of that is now homeless. Lord, for all of those in our community and across our state who are so close to the edge, We pray for a sign of hope. We give thanks for houses and beds, for clean water to drink and food to eat. And we pray that as a community, you would help us to know how to help those who are in need. We pray for people looking for work, that they might have the opportunity to provide for themselves and their families. Lord, we thank you for the work of the Central Rocky Mountain region. Thank you for calling Dean to be our interim minister. Bless Laura and Shelley in the work that they do this summer. And guide Vanetta and the search committee as they seek to discern your call for the next regional minister for the Central Rocky Mountain region. Lord, in our hearts, in our lives, there are prayers that we lift to you that we cannot yet put into words. Thank you for knowing what we need better than we know ourselves. May your will be done in our lives, in our church, and in our world. Amen. Weeks ago, 208 disciples gathered from five states of the Central Rocky Mountain region for a regional assembly known as Spring Feast. The closing worship was held at First Christian Church in Colorado Springs, and during that service, as we had communion together, there were five chalices and five plates on the communion table. Each chalice came from a different state in our region. There was a wooden chalice with an inlaid wooden cross that traveled from Wyoming to be shared with the region that day. There was a clay chalice from New Mexico that had been a gift to me when I was ordained 20 plus years ago. As I sat in the pew, reflecting on communion as the Lord's Supper was served, I found myself marveling at how many hands have touched and held that chalice through the years. It's only a small portion of the number of hands that have held and passed the Lord's Supper over the 2,000 plus years since Christ instituted it. No matter what state you are from, no matter what country you call home, no matter what state of life you might be in today, you are invited to come to the Lord's table to be fed and filled, to find your sins forgiven, and to taste anew the love of Jesus. We come as guests invited by Christ to share in the Lord's Supper, and you are welcome here. We'll prepare for communion by singing together number 386, We Come as Guests Invited. Thank you. As we come to the table, we remember that night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. While they were there, he took bread and after giving thanks, blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God." Let us pray.
Our Father, at this moment, help us to remember, remembering. It's becoming something new, the body of Christ. In this is which we lose ourselves, where we find something that is bigger than ourselves. We are remembered into a new body. Our God, we acknowledge that when we take the bread and the wine, we are digesting Christ. We are digested into the body of Christ. We remember his suffering for us. These grapes and wheat were broken and crushed so that they become something new. May we, as this community we call a congregation, become one with the body of Christ. Amen.
God, giver of everything, is a lover of all. Nothing that we have, nothing that we see, does not come from God. Now is one opportunity we have to share with others, and by sharing, to show our gratitude to God. Let the diaconate now wait upon us. Thank you, truthful and generous God, for all things bright and good, for all knowledge and truth, for our life and the chance we have to be live in relationship with you. With thankful hearts, we ask that you take these offerings and use them to do your work. Amen.
We have special music today. Congratulations, you are the choir. If you would take out your hymnal and turn to page 308. At Spring Feast this year, the theme was On Earth as in Heaven. There were several wonderful sermons and workshops centered around the Lord's Prayer and reflecting on how we are called to live on earth as God would have us live when we're in heaven. With that in mind, I thought this morning it might be a joy for us to reflect together on the Lord's Prayer. And one way to think about the Lord's Prayer is to sing it. Page 308 has an interesting version of the Lord's Prayer. Some of you may have never heard this version before. You're probably familiar with a much more classical, lovely solo rendition that I thought would be a bit challenging for us to sing together as church. So this one is kind of fun. It's a little bit peppy. The tune comes from the West Indies, and the first time I heard this version of the Lord's Prayer, I was in Costa Rica, and I was traveling in Limon, which is on the east coast, and the majority of people who live there are from African descent who came to that part of Latin America as slaves. And so the culture there still has a real vibrancy and rhythm to it that you might find if you visit African tribal nations. One thing that's important to notice about this version of the Lord's Prayer is you repeat the phrase, Hallowed be thy name. Now, we're used to saying when we pray it aloud, when we speak it, we say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, or holy is your name. Well, in order to fit with the rhythm of the song, you have to sing Hallowed be thy name. It might sound a little bit different until you get used to it, but trust me, it fits the music better. So Deb is going to play it through once, and then we will just jump in and start singing. And the words are in your hymnal, and we'll just kind of see how it goes. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Hallowed be thy name. Done on earth as it is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us this day our daily bread. Hallowed be thy name. And forgive all our debts. Hallowed be thy name. As we forgive our debtors. Hallowed be thy name. Lead us not into temptation. Hallowed be thy name. But deliver us from evil. Hallowed be thy name. Thine is the kingdom, power, and glory. Hallowed be thy name. Forever and ever. Hallowed be thy name. Now the easy part. Amen, amen, amen. Hallowed be thy name. Amen, amen, amen. Hallowed be thy name. Amen. Thank you, Deb.
Kids how to do it that way. The first time, I mean, it's a long thing for them to learn, and that would make it a whole lot easier. Our first scripture reading for today is from Psalm 96, verses 1 through 9, on page 551 in your pew Bible. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be revered above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. Tremble before him, all the earth.
Our scripture reading continues in the New Testament with two versions of the Lord's Prayer found in the Gospels. We'll hear first from Matthew in your pew Bible on page 5 of the New Testament, Matthew 6, beginning at verse 5. Jesus is speaking. Whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The Lord's Prayer is found again in Luke. It is a shorter version on page 72 of your New Testament Pew Bible, Luke chapter 11. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Deb, thank you again for playing for us this morning. We appreciate you sharing your gifts at the piano. Lonnie and Chuck are off in Yellowstone on a photography journey with the Singletons, having a great time. And next Sunday, our new accompanist, Diane Lynn, will begin her journey with our congregation. I've been reflecting a lot on prayer this week, thinking about the Lord's Prayer, and I have proof that God answers prayer. Because I have been praying, we have been praying that God would help us to find a bookkeeper and a pianist, and we did. Thank you, Lord, for answered prayer. Will you pray with me? Oh God, our Father, we love you so much. Thank you for sending your Son to teach us to pray, that we can talk to you and listen for your voice. Speak to us now, Holy One, as we reflect together on Scripture. Bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Rather than a traditional sermon this morning, I figured we might have a slightly smaller than usual crowd. So I thought it would be a fun time to sort of have a little workshop, a little interaction. So I just have a question to begin with. Did anyone notice anything in particular about the Lord's Prayer as you read in the Bible or listened to the version from Matthew and Luke and think about how we say it? Does anything come to mind? Did you notice anything? Carol? Dead and debtors in sin. So in Luke, right, so there's this whole question, when you pray the Lord's Prayer, how are you going to pray? Do you say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. It's interesting, if you've ever prayed the Lord's Prayer in an ecumenical setting, if you've been someplace with people from different faith traditions, all praying together, if there's not a word in the bulletin telling you the word to use, if there's no instruction, everybody just prays the Lord's Prayer, we start out nice and loud and strong, don't we? Our Father who art in heaven, we all know that, we say it in unison. We get to the part where we're talking about our sins or our trespasses, and if you'll notice, people get a little bit quieter because you're not sure what the person next to you is going to say. Am I sitting next to a Catholic who prays trespasses? Am I sitting next to somebody who's going to say debts? I'm used to saying sins on Sunday morning at First Christian. Is that okay to say here? And so we kind of mumble that line a little bit. Have you all had that experience? Yeah? Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? So in Luke, you may have even noticed, in Luke's version, he uses two different words. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. It actually reflects the Greek. The words are different. We ask God to forgive us when we sin, when we turn away from God. And in turn, God expects us to forgive other people. Well, forgiving sin is God's job, but we're encouraged to forgive people who owe us something. Maybe they owe us $5. Maybe they owe us a broken heart. Maybe they owe us an apology that is never going to come, and we're still called to forgive them. That's tough. It's interesting, though, in almost every language, when the Lord's Prayer is translated, we kind of like the symmetry of using the same word. Forgive us our sins and those who sin against us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. But in the Greek, in the original manuscript, it's actually two different words. Thank you, Carol, for your observation and your insight. Anyone else notice something? When we were praying, hearing this reading together, anything else kind of stand out that made you go, Don't worry, I won't make you stand up and talk. One thing that I think is pretty apparent, if you look at the Matthew version and the Luke version right next to each other, are they the same length? No. Luke is a little bit shorter, kind of the abbreviated, hitting the highlights parts. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Nothing about your will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew's got that in there. Luke doesn't. Give us each day our daily bread. Take care of what we need. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. And then he's done. That's it. It's kind of like the essence of the Lord's Prayer, the real heart of it. But even the Matthew version, that's a little bit longer. It's still not as long as what we say on Sunday morning. Something was missing. Anybody catch that? Anybody notice that? In the Matthew version. It's okay to flip back and look at it again. I don't expect you to have it memorized. You only read it once. So Matthew 6, ends with, "Do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one." And then he's done. We say, "Lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Or if you're Catholic, forever and ever.
And I don't understand why the Catholics don't say that.
Well, you know, it really depends on the congregation that you're in.
They all say that.
Every faith tradition kind of has its own version of the Lord's Prayer. It's evolved not just in Scripture, but in our practice. So there are some who would say, we're being biblical because we're stopping where the prayer stops in the Bible. Because "for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory" isn't in the version in the Scripture. So they just end at the end. Scholars speculate that last phrase, "for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever," that last phrase was added sometime before the 5th century. They're not sure exactly when. But it's very apparent that this is a prayer that was prayed often by Christians who gathered together. Jesus' disciples asked him to teach them how to pray, and he taught them this prayer. And then they taught it to other people. And at Pentecost, when the church grew, people prayed this prayer. And you know, when you have a group of people and you say something over and over, at some point, it's probably going to evolve a little bit. Well, even the Lord's Prayer has evolved to have a particular flavor depending on the congregation where you worship. There are some churches that just because of the culture, the part of the country where they live, the pattern of speech they share in common, there are some places in the U.S. where people speak more slowly. And so on Sunday morning, when you pray in a place that that's the norm, the Lord's Prayer will be a little slower. Thank goodness, Peg says. There are some places in the South where people have a very distinct accent and the pace of speech is slower. And so on Sunday morning, if you're in Georgia, if they're praying in a little country church, Our Father, now I can't sound like I'm from Georgia because I'm not, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. There's going to be plenty of time for that prayer. There are other parts of the country where people talk really fast and they don't even know that they're really talking fast. They just do, and everybody does, and the pace of life is quick. And so on Sunday morning, if you're worshiping in one of those churches, you might say the whole Lord's Prayer and never take a breath. And no one thinks it's strange. You would. It is interesting when you visit a different place and you pray something that is so familiar to you and yet someone else prays it in a slightly different way. I grew up saying debts and debtors. That was how I memorized the prayer. The church I served in Illinois used sins. And the church there spent a year-long process studying the Lord's Prayer. And they studied the Revised Standard Version of Scripture, which was one of the first English translations to use the word sins. And they really wanted to be biblically oriented, so they decided together as a congregation to pray sins. So my first, couple months in Illinois, debts kept slipping out of my mouth while everybody else was praying sins. It happens. But it's the meaning behind the words that is important. Other observations. Is there anything else somebody noticed? The instruction about praying in secret, not making a big show about how to pray. So in the context of the Matthew text, the conversation between Jesus and his disciples, Jesus is cautioning them, when you're praying, when you're talking to God, it's not about what other people think. Don't pray out on a street corner shouting from a bullhorn because you want everybody else to look and see how holy you are. Now, certainly there are times when public prayer is appropriate, and the Lord's Prayer is one of those prayers that we share publicly. But Jesus is saying, when you're really wrestling with something in your soul, it's between you and God. And God, who sees in secret, doesn't care how many words you use. I always think this is a good caution for preachers. Don't pray as the Gentiles. I could just as well say, don't pray as the preachers do. They think the fancier, flowerier, longer the prayer is, the more likely God is to hear. If it's too long, God might go to sleep. God knows what we need before we even ask. What a wonderful insight to prayer that is. You know, we could take time to reflect together on every word of the Lord's Prayer. It begins with a name for God, our Father. In Aramaic, the language Jesus spoke every day, the word for Father that he used when he first taught this prayer was Abba. It can be translated Papa or Daddy. It's an intimate relationship. Jesus invites us to know God as closely as a little girl might know her daddy or a little boy might know his mommy. That connection is the kind of relationship we're invited to have with God. Luke's translation in the NRSV, in our Pew Bible, just begins with Father, and Matthew begins with Our Father. Even just that little word, our, is a good reminder. God doesn't belong just to me. God doesn't belong just to First Christian Church or to the disciples. God is our Father. For all people around the world who want to know God, God is Father. It actually changes how I pray when I remember that God is our Father, not just mine, but yours. And God is also sometimes the God even of someone I might think of as an enemy. It changes my prayer when I'm praying to the God who loves me just as much as God loves the person I can't stand. It changes my relationship with that person or that group of people. Other insights, anything anybody noticed about the Lord's Prayer that we haven't touched on yet? Debbie. They talk about the time of trial. It's almost like we simplify that. We say, lead us not into temptation. The prayers talk about a time of trial. It's almost as if Jesus is teaching us to pray not just after we get into trouble, but the Lord's Prayer is almost like this preemptive strike. Lead us not into the time of trial. Lead me not into temptation. Okay, we chatted about this a little bit at our Sunday school conversation this morning downstairs. If you're an alcoholic, don't go hang out in a bar. We have some responsibility for the own temptations we face in our life. True confession time. Yesterday, I was planning on pulling weeds all day. I watched TV. I got out the remote. I turned it on. Charles had checked out a movie from the library. He was out of town. I watched his movie, and then there was something he had recorded, and then there was something else on, a movie I'd never seen. It was lousy, by the way, but I watched it. All 2 hours of it. And at the end of the day, I thought, I'm acting like a TV addict. I need to take these remotes and put them someplace where I can't get to them. I actually went to my bedroom and I got out a little old jewelry box that has a lock and key, and I thought, I could lock the remotes until Charles gets home, and then he has to give me the key to help me watch TV. Now, I don't think I'm going to hell because I spend a day watching television. But there are times that there are things we do that we know there's something better I could be doing, and so we blame God, or we blame, you know, we say the devil made me do it. We blame somebody else. We need to take responsibility for ourselves. But we can also pray to the Lord that we will not be led into that time of trial. The good news is, once we get there, God is there anyway. It is never too late for us to say, I messed up. Forgive me my sins. What an important part of that prayer that is. Debbie, when you raised your hand, I think just because so often when I look at you, I visualize a room full of people making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I thought you were going to say, well, what about the daily bread part? So what about the daily bread part? It's interesting that both Matthew and Luke do talk about bread. Give us this day our daily bread. In the Greek, there's a sense behind the words used in that phrase that indicate it's not so much give us every single day our bread, it's about the amount. Give us enough bread for one day. There's an English translation, I don't remember which version it is, that says give us our bread for the morrow. give us enough bread just for tomorrow, not for all of next week. Give us our daily bread. Jesus is teaching us to count on God to provide our need, not necessarily all of our wants. Kind of makes me think back to that parent-child relationship. Mama, I want, I want, I want. No, you can't have it. Mama, I need. Here you go. Give us each day our daily bread. There's actually a strong connection between this one phrase of the Lord's Prayer and the history of the Israelites receiving manna in the wilderness. You all remember that story. They were wandering. They were hungry. God said, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to give you bread. It was this weird white powdery stuff that nobody knows exactly what it tasted like. But God gave enough bread for the Israelites to eat for one day. And before the Sabbath began, there was enough bread to last through the Sabbath. It's interesting when you go back and you read those manna stories. It doesn't matter if people collected a whole lot or a little bit. They had enough for one day. God gives us enough for one day. Sometimes my anxiety comes because I'm worried about planning for my retirement, or I'm worried about bills that haven't even arrived yet. They're a couple months down the road. God is going to take care of me today. God is going to take care of us each day. It's interesting that the prayer doesn't ask for steak and potatoes or the richest wine possible or the Palestinian equivalent of a banquet feast. Just asks for bread, just enough to sustain life. And there's this wonderful connection for us who know Jesus as the bread of life. God, give me enough Jesus for today. Sometimes I want my faith to be really big and strong. I want it to shine brightly enough that all of Casper will come to First Christian Church just because of my faith. Boy, that's a big deal, isn't it? God doesn't do that for whatever reason. God gives me enough Jesus for today. And tomorrow, I get enough Jesus for tomorrow. Some days you need more Jesus than others. And so you pray more that day. Any other insights or questions about the Lord's Prayer? Something you've always wondered about and never quite asked. One last insight that I'll share. I've sat in rooms filled with preachers who can talk for 5 hours about the Lord's Prayer. You all would be asleep if I did that, I know, so I won't. But people who have studied scripture in depth and been to seminary and wrestled with theological concepts, sometimes there's this joy at looking at the minutiae of scripture and seeing God in the tiniest comma. So I one time sat in a room where a debate went on for an hour about whether or not there should be a comma between, I have to flip back to Matthew, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So on one side of the room, there was this group of preachers who really thought that needs to all be one phrase. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because it makes the emphasis different. It really makes us aware that when we pray this prayer, what we're asking for is that the way things are in heaven, we're asking God that they be that way here and now. A lot of us are used to the comma being there, whether we think of it as a comma or not, just because we breathe. After so many words, we pause and let the prayer breathe a little bit. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In that theological debate in that room, someone always makes the point, well, in Greek, there's no comma. They're absolutely right, because in ancient Greek, in the biblical manuscripts, there was no punctuation at all. There were no commas and no periods and sometimes even no capital letters. You didn't know when one sentence started and another end. You just had to figure it out by context. So yeah, they're right, there's no comma there. But I guess they don't go to Georgia to say the Lord's Prayer with no commas and no periods. You got to talk pretty fast. The next time you pray the Lord's Prayer, whether it's at home, maybe some evening or some morning this week or next Sunday, I invite you, instead of just kind of out of habit praying it with everybody around you, I invite you to think about the words and reflect on the prayer that you offer. And may it truly be on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Our closing prayer today seems to me appropriate for both Memorial Day weekend and a time when we're praying that it might be on earth as it is in heaven. Our closing prayer is, "Let there be peace on earth." You'll find it in the hymnal on page 677. If there's anyone here this morning who is needing peace in your life, you need us to pray for you or with you. If you're looking for a church home or you need to rededicate your life to God, you're invited to come forward as we stand and sing together, "Let There Be Peace on Earth."
May the God who dances in creation, who embraces us with human love, who shakes our lives like thunder, bless us and drive us out with power to fill the world with his justice. Amen.
Amen.